Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Tzadi Vav. We're going to start at the Mishnah about 10 lines down from the top, Tzadi Vav and Aleph. We're learning today for a large number of people. It's Hashem, they should all have an aliyah from our learning. We're learning Lili Nishmas Henry Mangerton, Lazer Henoch Ben Tuvia Hakoe. We're learning also for Rochel Kahana. We're also learning Lili Nishmas Ben Weinstock's parents, Morris Weinstock, Moshe Yaakov Ben Yosef, and Sarah Weinstock, Sarah Leah Bas Moshe. Finally, we're also learning Lili Nishmas, Dave Wiskowski's mother, Rivka Bas Binyamin Mordechai Viginendo, Alea Shalom, Mrs. Ruth Wiskowski. All the shows we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. Okay, we begin at the brand new Mishnah, Tzadi Vav and Aleph, about 10-15 lines down. The Mishnah begins. Amru Lo, they tell a person, Nebuch, that his wife passed away. Mesa Ishtecha. Now, we'll find out that this is not true. So we're going to hear a bunch of strange circumstances. Again, these cases didn't necessarily ever occur, but the Gemara is illustrating points by giving us these cases. So they tell a person, Nebuch, his wife passed away, and Venosa Achosa Meavia, and he goes and marries her paternal sister. So she has the same father, but a different mother than the first wife. So we have wife number one, we have wife number two. So he then marries wife number two, thinking that wife number one died, and he's allowed to marry her sister. Now, the Isser of Achos Ishto applies to both the paternal and the maternal sister. But obviously, there'll be some differences in the cases as we go further. Now, we had this Mishnah earlier, Nun Dalit, where we discussed, Tosfos brings down, that we bring down this larger case here to show that it goes on, even though we could have learned all the dinim from here with just the first three. But we're going to see the five women involved over here. So wife number one dies, and the husband, the same husband throughout, he marries wife number two, who is the paternal sister of wife number one. V'nasa achosa me'avia. And then he's told, Mesa, he's also told that she died. So now he goes and marries wife number three, which is the maternal sister. V'nasa achosa me'ima. So wife number three is related to wife number two. They have the same mother, but a different father. And wife number three is not at all related to wife number one. Now, he's then told Mesa, wife number three passes away, and he goes and marries her paternal sister, the Nosa Chosa Miavia. So three and four, wives three and four, have the same father but different mothers. Then he's told that she dies, Mesa. So she dies as well, and he goes and marries the Nosa Achosa Meima. So wife number five is the maternal sister of wife number four. So again, he has five wives. Wife number one is a paternal sister to wife number two. Not a problem for him to have married her after his wife died. Wife number two dies, he marries her maternal sister. No problem. After the wife dies, it's allowed. When wife number three dies, he marries her paternal sister. That's wife number four. And when she dies, he marries her maternal sister. That's wife number five. So you have the scenario where wives 1, 3, and 5 are totally unrelated to each other, and wife number 2 and 4 are totally unrelated to each other. Now, he then finds out that this is all a mistake. V'nimtzu kulan kayamos. All five of the women are Baruch Hashem alive. But that now has caused him a tremendous amount of problems. So he is allowed to stay married to wives 1, 3, and 5. Muta berishona, uva shlishis, uva chamishis. He's allowed to go stay married to these three wives because they're totally unrelated to each other. But wives, number 2 and 4, he will not be allowed to stay married to, as the Mishnah will state in a second. But first it then tells us that upotros saraseim. In this situation, if he dies, so then Yibum has to be done to one, Yibum Chalitz has to be done to one of his wives, so wives 1, 3, and 5, if you do Yibum Chalitz to one of them, that will exempt the others from requiring Yibum Chalitz. So if he has a brother Shimon, and Shimon does Yibum Chalitza to one of the wives, 1, 3, or 5, that exempts the other two from needing Yibum Chalitza. However, wives 2 and 4, they're totally not involved here. That wasn't a kosher marriage. It turns out that neither of those two marriages actually were chal. And therefore, in this situation, for Asa B'shtir Reviz, he's not allowed to marry, or stay married, he thought, to wives 2 and 4, because the marriage never was chal. Because their sisters were alive at the time and married to the husband, and therefore he's not allowed to marry either a paternal sister or a maternal sister. So either one was not allowed to be married. Wives 2 and 4, their marriage was never chal, and therefore, v'in bia sechasvi and patera sarasa. And if Shimon, the brother, after Reuven dies, were to have done yibum with either wife 2 or 4, or chalitza with wife 2 or 4, it would be irrelevant, it doesn't count, and wives 1, 3, and 5 would still need chalitza or yibum. Now, Mish continues and tells us what happens in ba'al hashnia li'acha misas rishona. In this situation, the moral asks, what are we talking about? We just said that wife one didn't die. But here, in this second case of the Mishnah, we're talking where, in fact, wife one did die, but wives two, three, four, and five did not die. So now we just set up the circumstances a little bit differently, the same din, but we set up the circumstances now that wives two and four are legitimate wives because they're not related to each other, and wives three and five, they're not allowed to be married because they are sisters of Ishto. They're Achos Ishto. So if wife number one really died, he was permitted to marry her paternal sister, wife number two. So marriage number two is now a good marriage. And then when he marries the maternal sister, wife three, everything else is the same. Then he thinks wife three dies, he marries her paternal sister. He thinks she dies, he marries then her maternal sister. So again, all the wives two, three, four, and five are the same as in the first case. The only difference between case one and case two is that none of the wives died in case one. And in case two, the first wife actually did die. So in this scenario, in Baal Shniel, Yachad Misas Rishona, and he married then after he thought she died, wife three, he thought she died, wife four, he thought she died, wife five. In this situation, Mutar B'Shniel Rishis, it turns out that wives two, three, four, and five are still alive, so two and four are legitimate marriages, and therefore he's allowed to stay married to them. And if he were to pass away, if Reuben passes away, the husband passes away, so then Shimon can do Yibum Mechalitza with either wife two or four and exempts the other one. However, Reuben is not allowed to stay married to wives three and five in this scenario, because they weren't legitimate marriages. They were achos ishto, because his wife was really alive. Wife two was really alive, so therefore wife three is not a good marriage. Wife four was really alive, therefore wife five is not a legitimate marriage. They're both achos ishto. Also, b'shlishis v'chamishis. And likewise, if Reuven were to pass away, and Shimon did yibam, so if he did it with wives three or five, it doesn't count. Maybe as ha'as, we have otores tzorosa. So having done yibam v'chalitza with wife three or five is irrelevant. It didn't count. They weren't real legitimate marriages. The wives two or four and four still need Yibum or Chalitza. Okay, that's the first two sets of cases. We're not going to discuss them that much in the Gemara. We're going to focus most of the Gemara on the next set of scenarios. The Mishnah continues and says, Ben Teisha Shon Yomechad. You have a boy who, by definition, his Bia is considered Bia after he's 9 years old and one day. But he's not a Gadol. He's still a Katan. And therefore, his actions have a different status than if he was a Gadol. So this 9-year-old boy in one day, we call it 9-year-old just for simplicity, but it's really 9 years old in one day, just like a person's bar mitzvah, he's 13 years old in one day. So, hu posel ayidei achin. So, if Reuven, the brother who's a gadol, dies, so Shimon and Levi exist in the world, Shimon is a gadol, and Levi is a katan, he's the younger brother. So Levi, over here, in this situation, did yibum with the wife of Reuven. So Shimon and Levi, Shimon's a gadol, Levi's a katan, and Levi went and did yibum with Reuven's widow. So in this situation, hu posel ayidei achin. So now, this katan's yibum exempts or doesn't allow any of the other brothers to do yibum with her. Hu posel ayidei achin. Likewise, even though he did yibum, if one of the other achim did anything to her, as we'll see, yibum, chalitza, aget, or Maimar, so then, v'achid posel ayado, they would prevent him from continuing to stay, quote, married to this wife. If Levi, the katan, does yibam, so in this situation, the machlokes among the poskim as to whether that's yibam works on the deraisa level, and the rabbis say that it doesn't work, or it doesn't work on the deraisa level, and the rabbis say that it should work to a certain extent. In any event, it's not a complete yibam, that's for sure. And therefore, if Shimon, his brother, who's a gadol, then did any one of those four things, yibum, chalitza, get, or maimer, so then, v'achin posel ayado, they prevent him from being allowed to continue in this yibum marriage. Mishnah does point out a difference between them, which we'll explain with the final understanding of the Gemara, but we'll see then the questions of the Gemara. Don't be surprised that you know the answer. The Gemara will ask some questions of this. The Mishnah continues and says, Elohu posel tchila. When he does first, so then if he does yibum first, then he's posel the other brothers. However, v'achin poselin tchila v'sof. The brothers, if they did it first, they obviously prevent him from doing yibum mechalitza, or maimor, or get. And as well, if the achin did it after he did yibum, they're also posel. Now the Gemara is going to tell us, if he does yibum after they did any of those four, he also ruins it for them that they'll never be able to allow to do yibum. So in that scenario, he can ruin it for them as well if he does yibum afterwards. But the Gemara is going to say that if he does any of the other things, if he does maimer, get, or chalitza after they did yibum, so then his actions are nothing. So that's what it ultimately will mean. Right now, it looks like we're saying, hu posel b'tchila, only if he has yibum first, does he ruin it for the brothers. Whereas the brothers, if they had Yibam first before him or after he did Yibam, they would ruin it for him. El Hupos HaBetchila, the Katan only prevents them from doing Yibam if he did it first. And they, if they did it before or afterwards, V'achem Posel Tchila V'sof, even the before or after he did Yibam, they would ruin it for him. Ketzad. Mishnah tells us what exactly is the scenario. So it's Ben Teisha Shoshanim Yom Echad. This Katan Shabbat Yivimto had Yibam. Levi first did Yibam with Reuven's widow, with Rachel. And then, possibly the Achim, then the other brothers can't do Yibam. However, Bo'ol of Achim, if in fact the other brothers did Yibam with her, or V'yasu B'maim, or they did Maimah, one of them did Maimah, or Nasdu Ger, or they gave a Ger even, or Cholts, or did Chalitza, so Posel Ayodah, then he can't do anything afterwards. And likewise, even if he did something first, it ruins it if they do it afterwards. Okay. Marsh says, the question I addressed in the Mishnah, Atukulu Lavli Achamisas Rishonin, and this goes back on the first two sections of the Mishnah. This is the only thing we're going to discuss in the first two sections, which is, how can you tell me in the second case that it's different than the first case? Isn't everybody still alive? And the Gemara tells us, no, I'm Rav Sheshes, Liachamisas Rishonin Vadai. In the second set of cases in the Mishnah, with the five women being married, the first wife really did die, and that's why here, wives 2 and 4 are good, and wives 3 and 5 are no good. In the first scenario, all the wives did not die, and that's why 1, 3, and 5 are still good, and 2 and 4 were not good. Okay, that's what we're going to discuss on the first two sections of the Mishnah, and now we're going to devote the rest of the Shia on this last section of the Mishnah, with the Katan doing any one of the activities to Yibum, Chalitza, Get, or Maimer. So we said in the first part of the Mishnah, that if he did Yibam, so then the other brothers will no longer be allowed to do Yibam, even though he's a Katan. So the Gemara says, we said that our Mishnah taught us that only if he did Yibam before them does he ruin it for them, but if they did Yibam and then he did Yibam, it wouldn't ruin it for them. That's what it sounds like. That's not going to be correct, but that's what it sounds like. The Gemara says, Tani Rav Zvid Bar Rav Shaya. Rav Zvid said, what the son of Rav Shaya said, Oser Maimer be Yivimto, if one does Maimer with his Yivama, V'yachar kach bo ochiv shu ben teisha shonim yom echad aleh. And then, so let's say Shimon the Gadol did Maimer, like he's supposed to, he's a good Yid, and then Levi did something wrong. Levi went and did Yiba with him. Now Levi's only a Katan, he's a 9-year-old, a 1-day boy, between that age and Bar Mitzvah, so his actions are of a Katan. Nevertheless, Rav Zvid Bar Rav Oshaya tells us, psala, he ruins it. So here you see that Yibum by the Katan, after something by the Gadol, even Maimer by the Gadol, it ruins it. If he had done Yibum, it wouldn't ruin it, because then there would be a full marriage. But Maimer is not a full marriage. So on a Daraisa level, the woman still requires Yibum Chalitza. So when Levi, the Katan, does it, he ruins it for the older brother, the Gadol brother, who in fact did Maimer. So the Gemara says, this seems to be a stira. It's not. Amri, you would answer it up. No. Our Mishnah is teaching us a bia, pasal afilu b'sof. Even by the katan, the bia ruins it for the other brothers if it was first or even after they did their maimer. Maimer, tchila pasal. But maimer, if the katan did maimer, then b'sof lo pasal. It's only going to be pasal. Maimer, tchila pasal, b'sof lo pasal. So the katan's maimer will not go and ruin it after the adult did Mimer. So Shimon, the older brother, the Gadol brother, did Mimer, then Mimer by Levi, the Katan, won't ruin it. But Yibam by Levi, the Katan, would ruin it. But it says, really? Are you telling me that this is true, that Bia after the Gadol's Mimer, Bia by the Katan, after the Gadol's Mimer, would ruin it? But that's not what Amisha said. But Tali, didn't Amisha say otherwise? El Shuposo Tchila Vein Tchila V'Sof. Mishnah seemed to say that he's only ruining it if he did it first, but not after they did whatever they did. Whereas they ruined it both before and after his bia. Ketzad, and the Mishnah said, Ben Teisha Shon Yom Echad, Shabbat Yivim Tavachule. It seems to say Beferish, not like what we just said. So how can you say that? So here we get to the final answer, which is how I've been learning the Mishnah. Chisurim Echsav Alkitani. There were things missing in the Mishnah to make it clear. Here's what's missing. The Mishnah should have said, Ben Teisha Shon Yom Echad, if the 9-year-old boy, one day, he's katan, but his action of bia is a valid bia. If he does bia first, so who posts him b'tchila? He ruins it there for the other brothers to yibam. They ain't posts him b'tchila himself, but they ruin it both. If they did before his action or they did after his action, they ruin it for him. He won't be able to continue living with her. By ma'advar ma'murim, and here's m'ksuri ma'atsua, what are we talking about? That's b'maimer. If the katan does maimer first, so then the gedolim brothers aren't able to go and do yibam. However, avo bia, if the katan does bia, it's not only beforehand, the bia posel is afil b'sof. So the katan's maimer will ruin it for the brothers if he does it first. Whereas the katan's maimer will not ruin it for the brothers, even if the brothers only did maimer. Certainly if they did yibum. Now, that's by maimer. Avobia, even the katan's bia, after their maimer would ruin it. Avobia, pselas, both afilu, basov, even trila, and even basov. Ketzat, what's the example? Bentesha, yom, shon of yomechot, haba, yivimto, pasal de achin. If this boy goes and does yibum, either before they do anything or even after they did maimer, he will ruin it, pasal de achin, will ruin it for all the brothers. More questions. This says, is this really so? That he ruins it for them with Mimer? If the Kotan did Mimer first, we just said that he ruins it for them. Is that true? How does a Kotan's action of Mimer ruin it for the brothers? Well, Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Ben Tesh Yom Shon Yom Echad, Hu Posel B'Davar Echad. He only disqualifies the brothers from being able to do Yibam by one thing, Bia. V'Achad Posel Yodah, B'Arba Dvarim. The brothers go and ruin it for him if they do any one of the four things. Maimer, Bia, Yibam, Gero Chalitza. And the Braisa says that. Hu posel yodah achad bia. He only ruins it for them if he does Bia. V'achad posel yodah bia, b'maimer, b'ged, b'chalitza. With any one of the four actions. So how can you tell me that the Katan's Maimer does something, it says b'feirush over here, it doesn't do anything, only Yibam, only Bia does something? So where it says no. Bia, which works both before and after their action, the pasla bein mitchila b'sof, the bia of the katan brother will ruin it for the older brothers, whether he did it first or whether he did it after their maimer. So therefore, it lists that in the brisa. However, psikolite, that's a clear cut din, and therefore the brisa lists it. It's both before and afterwards. How about maimer, which only works before the mitchila pasul, but it doesn't work afterwards. B'sof lo pasul lo psikolite. The brisa doesn't mention. The brisa wanted to say things that work all the time, not things that work sometimes. But in fact, Mimer before works, but Mimer after their Mimer for the Kotan doesn't work. Okay. In Ranami, it says, Beferish this idea by various Amaroyim. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yesh lo get. A Kotan, if he were to give a get, would also ruin it for the brothers. Chenu Rav Techlifa, Baravimi, Rav Techlifa, the son of Ravimi said, Yesh lo Mimer. The Kotan also has Mimer. So here you see that Rav Techlifa, Baravimi says that the Kotan does have Mimer. Tainam Yochi, and a Brisa says the same thing as well. The Brisa says, Yesh lo get, that the Katan brother, if he gave a get, he ruins the other brothers to do Yibam. Yesh lo Maimer, and the Brisa says that he also has the ability to do Maimer. Divi Rameir. Here it's said, Beferish, in the name of Rameir. So Gemara says, really? For some Rameir, Yesh lo get? Does Rameir really hold that he has a get? But Tanya, we learned in the following Brisa that the Katan doesn't have the ability to give a get. Because, listen to this Brisa, the Brisa states, Asu bias ben teisha, the rabbi said that if the katan does bia, so midaraisa, his opinion says that it works, and that the rabbis made it that it doesn't work like yibam. It only works bentesha kimaimer begadol. It only as if it was maimer by a gadol. Others say no, that it didn't work at all, and midarabanan, they gave it the status of like it was maimer. But in other words, the bia of the katan is only like maimer of a gadol. It's not as complete. And Rabbi Meir, and on this, Rabbi Meir said, and added, Asu chalitzas ben teisha keget begadol. If he did chalitza, this katan, whose actions are for bia good, so if he did chalitza in this situation, the rabbis made it as if it was a get of a gadol. But they didn't say as it was if he gave a get. And therefore, if Rabbi Meir holds that his get is worth something, so then in Misa, he should have said over here, Lusne Kigita. They should have said that Chalitza's Ben Teisha should be Kiget that he gave, Kiget Katan, Kigita. So therefore, it implies that Rabbi Meir doesn't hold that the Katan gave a get. But the Brisa said he does give a get, seems to be a steer in Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Huna Breder Yeshua, said, Islay. But Vizutar, he does have the ability to give a get, even according to Rabbi Meir, but it's not the same as the strength of the get of a gadol. So vizutar, this get that the katan gives is not as effective as the get of an adult, of a gadol. And therefore, when he says the chalitza of the katan, he's not comparing it to the chalitza of a katan, of a get of a katan, but he's comparing it, the chalitza of the katan, to the get of a gadol, because that's a stronger thing. Now, what is the difference between the get of a katan and the get of a gadol in this situation? So, according to Rabban Gamliel, who says, Damar en get ach get, we had learned previously that, let's say, you have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, they're all gedolim, Reuven dies, his widow, Rachel, now falls to Shimon and Levi in Yibam. So, Shimon gave a get. He thought that's the way you get out of this. So, according to Rabban Gamliel, Damar en get ach get, that's it. Once the first brother gave a get, so then, even if the other brother gave a get, it doesn't count, and he would still be muteris to all of her relatives. So Hani Mili Begodol Achagodol. According to Rabbi Gamliel, this is Ein Get Achaget. It's only talking about the get of a Godol after the get of a Godol. However, the same thing would apply the Katan Achakatan. If both Shimon and Levi were Katanim, so if Shimon gave a get, so then Levi's get doesn't have any halachic status. Again, they won't be able to do Yibam, but now are they Asur or not to the relatives? So Shimon would be Asur to all of the Yavama's relatives, whereas Levi would not be Asur to all of the Yavama's relatives. This is true of Godol Achagodol or Katan Achakatan according to Rabbi Gamliel. However, if Shimon, who's the Gadol, didn't do it first, but Levi, the Katan, first gave a get, so then if Shimon, the Gadol, gave a get, it does work to ask him to all of her relatives. That's what Rabbi's opinion. According to the Rabbanon, the Amr Yesh Kenach a get, they hold that no, even in a normal situation where brother A gives a get, and then brother B gives a get as well. So brother B is also also according to the Rabbanan in the relatives of the Yavama. So in this situation, that's true. It's only that would apply only if Shimon and Levi were both Gedolim, Shimon and Levi both Ketanim. So then the second get would answer that brother as well on all the relatives of the Yavama. However, according to the Rabbanan, Abel Katan Achagadol, if Shimon the Gadol first gave a get, and then Levi, the Katan, gave a get as well. Here, Lomahani, even though they normally say Yesh Get Achar Get, that's only if it's a Gadol after Gadol or Katan after Katan. But if it's a Gadol first and then the Katan, so then the Katan is doing nothing. And that Katan, Levi, would still be permissible in the Yavama's relatives. Lomahani, it doesn't work. We turn to Tzadi Bava Mebeis, and we start a new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Ben Teisha Shonim Yom Echol Shavai Vimto. Here we continue in this series of cases of a 9-year-old boy. Again, 9-year-olds in one day, so he's Bia is considered Bia, but he's still a Katan. Shema Yivimto. And he goes and does Yibam with his Yavama. Okay? Reuven passes away. Rachel is the widow. No children. And this Katan brother, here we'll call him Shimon. There's only one brother right now. So Shimon, the Katan brother, goes and does Yibam. So, V'achakach bo'alel ochiv shuventei shoshanav yom echad. Now there's a lady over here who's also a Katan. So let's make it that Shimon, the brother, was 11 years old, and Levi, the other brother, is 10 years old. So you have two brothers that are, Bia is considered Bia, but they're both Ketanim. So now you have the first brother, Shimon, doing Yibam, and the second brother then does relations with her as well, thinking it's Yibam. So posel ayodo, the second brother is going to ruin this marriage for the first brother, because the Yibam of the first brother is not a full Yibam. It's not a full marriage. And therefore, she's not considered as fallacious each. So therefore, when Levi also does it, so Levi ruins him to ever be able to go and marry her. Because it's as if there were two brothers that did Yivam on the Yavama, and that can't ever occur. So therefore, neither of them would be allowed to continue to stay married with her. They'd have to give her chalitza, a get and chalitza. You would need the get to go and dissolve this marriage, if there is a marriage over here with the Yibam, and you need chalitza, because in case it's not a marriage, so you'd have to go and do chalitza to get rid of the zika. Okay, that's the opinion of Tanakama. However, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo poso. Rabbi Shimon says, mimanu shach, as the Gemara will explain. If the first Yibam of the Katan was good, so then it's good. So then the second Yibam by the second Katan is just an act of znus, because the first Katan Yibam married her. And if you're saying that the first Katan Yibam did not marry her, it's not good, so then the second Katan Yibam is also not good. Mimanu shach. Either they're good and the second one is nothing, it's no good, and the second one is also nothing. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he says that the second brother doesn't ruin it for the first brother, and if the first brother wishes to go and continue in that marriage, he would be allowed to. Next case. You have a 9-year-old boy, a 9-year-old one-day-old boy. Again, his bia is bia, but he's still a katan. So here we have the scenario where Reuven had two wives, Rachel and Leah, and he has one brother, Shimon, who's a katan. But he's above the age of 9 years old on one day, so his bia is bia. And he does Yibam with Rachel, and then he does Yibam with Leah. So you're not allowed to do that, obviously. So what's the halacha? Posalei de atzmo. So the Mishnah tells us that Tanakama holds that he ruins it for himself. His bia on the second widow actually ruins it for him for the first widow as well. Since both of them may partially take effect, it's not clear what the status was. So it's as if one brother is Mekayim Shtei Batim, and that's not allowed either. So therefore, he ruins it for himself, posel ayidei atzmo. And again, consistently, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says, Manushach, If the first Bia was a good Bia, that's it. She's now an Eishes Ish. The second one is an active Zanus. He's not allowed to have had relations with her. But it doesn't ruin the first marriage. And if the first marriage is not considered a good marriage, so the second one is not considered good to ruin it. And therefore, lo posel. Reb Shimon holds, not posel. Same exact understanding, same exact mimarashah. Mar starts off and says, Tanya, Amalei Reb Shimon l'chachamim. Reb Shimon tells the chachamim is mimarashah. In Bia Rishona Bia, Bia Shnia Ein Abia. In Bia Rishona Ein Abia, Bia Shnia Nami Ein Abia. He says, again, mimarashah. If the first relations were good, so then that's it. End of the discussion. And the second ones can have no impact on it. If the first relations aren't good enough to go and make a marriage, then the second relations aren't good enough to go and ruin it. That's what Reb Shimon's argument is to the Chachamim. The Chachamim don't respond. We don't have an answer. The Chachamim, they disagree with the idea, basically. Rashi explains, they don't hold from this Mimonoshach. They say it works partially. So if it works partially for the first one, it can work partially for the second one. So therefore, they don't agree with this Mimonoshach. Mor says, by the way, Masnisa Delo Ki Ben Azai, our Mishnah, which just has the Tanakam and Reb Shimon, cannot be in accord with Ben Azai. Why is that? They can't be the Chacham, because they hold a partial like Reb Shimon, but not fully like Reb Shimon. The Tanya, because we said in the Braisa, Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai holds, Yesh Maimar Acha Maimar B'Shtei Yavdin, V'Yivoma Achas. If you have two brothers that are doing potentially Yibam. So Reuven dies, and there's two additional brothers, Shimon and Levi. In that situation, if Shimon did Maimer, so Yesh Maimer, Acha Maimer, B'Shnei Yavin, when there's two brothers, Shimon and Levi, first one does Maimer, and then the second one does Maimer, that works. Yesh Maimer, Acha Maimer, B'Shnei Yavin, B'Yivam Achas, when there's only one widow. However, Ein Maimer, Acha Maimer, B'Shnei Yavin, most B'Yavim Echad. But if there's only one brother, Shimon, after Reuven dies, but he had two wives, Rachel and Leah, in that situation, Ben Azai holds that there is no Maimer, Acha Maimer here. If the one brother, Shimon, gave Maimer to Rachel, and then he gave Maimer to Leah, the other co-wife, so then that doesn't work. So Ben Azai is like a hybrid Shita. In some way he holds like Reb Shimon, in some ways he doesn't hold like Reb Shimon, and therefore he can't be the Chachamim of our Mishnah. Next Mishnah. Continuing the series of cases of the 9-year-old, the one-day boy, who is Bia, is Bia, but again, he's a Katan. Here, this brother Shimon, he's 9 years old, one day plus, but he's not yet bar mitzvah. He does Yibam with his older brother Reuven, who passed away, his wife, and then he dies. So in this situation, the wife, since she wasn't halachically married yet, according to the idea that this is not a deraisa marriage, so cholet says lo misyabemis. So then, any additional brothers would do chalitza with her and not Yibam, because it's possible that this really wasn't a valid marriage, and therefore she still is remaining from the Zika of Reuven. And therefore, the other brother now, Levi, when he's going to do Yibam to the wife of Shimon, it may be really the wife of Reuven. So there's a potential for Shtei Zikos over here, therefore, Choletz et Shlomi Sebenis. We're not sure, was this marriage Yibam to Shimon effective or not? So maybe it's Reuven that he's doing the Yibam for, or maybe it's Shimon that he's doing the Yibam for, and therefore you can't do it because it's Shtei Batim. Therefore, Choletz says, below Misya Vemes. But you need Chalitza, because maybe Shimon did nothing, and therefore she still requires from the Zika to Reuven to have a release, and therefore Choletz says, below Misya Vemes. The mission continues and said, what happened in the case we have this Katan boy, but his Bia is Bia, who married a woman, also Isha, and then he died, Umeis. So they never were married on the Deraisa level, Harei Zuptura. So therefore, she doesn't require Yibam or Chalitza. Since this, quote, marriage that he had is not a halachic marriage, even Midirabanan, so therefore there's no requirement, even Midirabanan, of Yibam or Chalitza if he dies before he's had relations with her as a Gadol. So Harei Zuptura. In this situation, she doesn't require Yibam or Chalitza. Next case in the Mishnah, we have if this 9-year-old one day katan has ba yivimto, has relations with his yivama shabai yivimto. In this situation, and then he became a gadol, but he then marries somebody else. No, so isha acheres. Now as a gadol, he marries another woman, so he's deraisa married to the second woman, and then he dies. So he has the first woman that he did yibim with. He never had relations with her as a gadol, so she's not his full-fledged wife. But the second woman, he married as a gadol, so she's his full-fledged wife. And he dies then without children from either one of them. So now, im lo yoda es harishon mishigdil, if he didn't have relations with the first wife, who he had as a wife through Yibam, if he never had relations with her as a gadol, so then, again, that's not a full-fledged Yibam. So she still has a little bit of the Zika from Reuven, the first husband who passed away, and he has a partial attachment to her through the Yibum that he did as a katan, like Maimer. And then he has his own real wife that is a full-fledged halachic marriage. So now, if he dies, both of the widows fall to the third brother, to Levi. But it's unclear if the one who he did Yibum with, is that falling from him because it was a full-fledged Yibum or not, and it's only a partial Maimer, and it's really a Zika from Reuven, the first brother. So, im lo yodas rishunim sheigdil, if he never had relations with the first one, so then, when he dies, and both the first wife through Yibum and the second wife, which is a real halachic marriage, is a gadol, fall to the other brother, Levi, harishonu choletz, is lo misabem, it's the first wife, because it's a possible Zika from Reuven, a possible Zika from Shimon, so therefore, you can't do Yibum with her, choletz, but she needs to be released, because maybe it's a real Zika from Reuven, and never was released, so she requires chalitza, choletz, is lo misabem, so you can't do Yibum, because maybe it was a real good Yibum with Shimon, and in that situation, it's not a Zika from Reuven, and there is no obligation to do with both of them. And the Shnia, the second wife, Mimarushach, Ocholetz, Tomis Edemis. Mimarushach, if you do Chalitza with her, it's certainly good. And if you do Yibum with her, it's certainly good, because if you do Yibum with her, so she requires Yibum. She was a full-fledged marriage. And the Chalitza or Yibum would be fine for her. Why didn't the Chalitza that was done first to the Yavama wife, why didn't that benefit her? Because on a Daraisa level, they weren't Soros, they weren't co-wives. And therefore, on a Daraisa level, she's not ruined at all. So therefore, she could have Yibum. Not surprisingly, the Mishnah tells us where Rishimon disagrees. Rishimon Omer again, Miyabim le'ezo shir, so you can do Yibum with either one. Again, Mimanushah. If the original Yibum of Shimon was no good, so then he's doing Yibum based upon the Zika from Reuven. And if the original Yibum with Shimon was good, so then he's doing Yibum based upon the Zika from Shimon. So it's only one Zika, Mimarushah. Either it's a Zika of Reuven, we don't know, or a Zika from Shimon, we don't know, but it's not both of them. So therefore, Mimarushah, he can do Yibum with her, or he can do Yibum with the other wife, Miyabim Le'ezah Shiyirtseh, B'cholitza Shniyah. But the second one should get Chalitza no matter what, Mimarushah. If the first one really was a Zika from Reuven, so then there's no attachment to the second wife of Shimon, and therefore she would require Chalitza. And if the Zika to Reuven was broken because the Yibum was good, so then he can only do Yibum with one of them and do Chalitza with the other one. So Shimon again is very consistent with his opinion before, and Mimanushah. Either it's good or it's not good. He has no suffix situation. He doesn't know which one it is, so he does have a suffix in that respect, but it's not a partial. It's either definitely good or definitely no good. Then the Mishnah continues and tells us, Echot Shuben Teisha Shom Yom Echot, whether you have a 9-year-old and 1-day boy who's Bia is Bia, but is not a Gadol, or you even have him, he's older than 13 years old, but he doesn't have any Simonim of Gadlos, the Echot Shuben Esim, Shaloi Vishtei Saros. So again, he's by halachic definition still a Kotan. Whether it's by age or by also lack of physical maturity, if he's 20 years old and he hasn't brought forth Shnei Saros, in that situation, all of these dinim apply. He's considered as not a full-fledged Yibum D'Oraisa. Mar starts on this, explains, Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Ha Amar Rabbanim, that which the Chazal said, Zikas Shnei Yavdim, when there is a woman who is from two Yavamim, the woman has the Zika from two Yavamim, like potentially our case over here, where there's the Zika possibly from Reuven and the Zika possibly from Shimon. In this situation, Michlat Chalza, Yibu Be'lo Yibam. So you're only allowed to do Chalitza, because again, we're not sure if it's from one or two. And certainly if it's definitely from two, you're certainly not allowed to do Yibam, but you still have to do Chalitza in this situation. And this din, Lo Teima, Hechad Yikatzara, don't say that this din only applies when there were two wives. Reuven had two wives, Rachel and Leah. The Ikal, the Migzah, Mishum Tzara, that we have to do this because if we allow Yibum to be done to one, you may do Yibum to the second one. No. Even in the case, the Olhecha, the Leka Tzara, even in a situation like ours, where there is no Tzara, but you just have the potential Zika from Reuven, the potential Zika from Shimon, still, Michlat Tzcholtza, Yibum Elo Yabba. The same din applies in this scenario as well. Then we said, in the second case of the Mishnah, Nasa Yishu Mesuchule, we said that if this Katan, who's 9 years old on one day, married a woman, so it's not a marriage on a Daraisa level at all, not even on the Rabbanim level, so therefore, if he dies without children, there's no mitzvah Yibum v'chalitza. Tanidalu, the Tana Rabbanim. The Mugara says that which from the Mishnah was also reiterated in the following Braisa. Braisa states Mefarish, Shote, a person who's a Shote, by definition, cannot have a halachic marriage. The Katan, or a child that's under the age of Bar Mitzvah, Shenasu, if they married a woman, Vemesu, and then they die without children, so Nishoseim, the wives are peturos mina chalitza mina yibum. These wives that they had that were not halachic marriages are not obligated in yibum or chalitza. Then the Gemara gives us the third scenario of the Mishnah, Betesha v'chule. This is talking about the case where this 9-year-old boy had a marriage of yibum, and then when he became a gadol, he had a regular full-fledged marriage. And he never consummated the marriage of yibum as an adult. He only had yibum with her as a katan. He never had relations with her as a gadol. So he said, Mishig de v'chule. In this situation, if he became a gadol and married the second wife, but never actually consummated the relations with the yibum wife after he was a gadol, so then in that situation, we said that the first wife, according to the Tanakhama, required chalitza, but wasn't allowed to have yibum because it was the potential shtei zikos over here. And the second wife, he could do either chalitza or yibum with because that was a full-fledged wife unrelated to the first one on a deraisa level. So the word says, v'yasu b'yas ben tesha b'maymer k'gadol v'sidcha tzar miyibum. But why don't we say that this yibum that he did should at least be like maymer? And therefore, it was like maymer, so the second one shouldn't be allowed to go and have yibum done with her. It should be as if there was a maimer done on one, and therefore the second one can't have yibum. So Amar Rav, Rav says, no. Lo asu b'yas ben tesha k'maymer gadol. He disagrees with this idea. He says that you don't consider the bia of this 9-year-old boy, 9-year and 1-day-old boy, to be like the maimer of a gadol. It's nothing, and therefore it halachically doesn't ruin it for her. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel Amar asu b'yasu. In fact, they didn't in fact say that the bia of this katan is like the maimer of a gadol, and it would ruin it. In fact, the second wife would not allow to be heavy yibum; she would only allow chalitza. And this also is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan asu v'yasu. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Yes, they did it. They did it." It's an emphasis. They did it. They did it. And therefore, this applies to both of the two cases that the other brothers aren't allowed to take the first yavama in yibum, and they can't take the second yavama in yibum. They would only be allowed to do chalitza. But this seems to be in contradiction to our Mishnah. If you say v'yasu, so where says tanoihi? This is the fact of machlokis tanoim. Tanoihi, where do we see this? Hach tano deba achin, that price that we just spoke about, that Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan were commenting on, that's from the Perek Abba Achin, Goza Mishum Tzara. There, they did make a gzera that you can't do yibum because of the Tzara. Because there, in that scenario, you actually had a Tzara. And it wasn't talking about a case where you had Shimon with the potential Zika wife for Reuven and his own wife. So there, in that scenario, there were real tzaras. Reuven had two wives, Rachel and Leah. So therefore, in that situation, they felt it was necessary to make the Gzeira and not allow Yibam, because if you did Yibam to the second one, you may come to do Yibam to the first one. Vashvina Megadol. And they're telling us that din over there by a Gadol, but Vahu Adin Mekotin. The same thing applied by a Katan as well. Why do they mention over there only by Gedolim? Because they were talking about a gadol. But our Tana here, here they're talking about where they made the yibum of this katan as if it was the maimer of a gadol. But they don't have to make a gzera below gazim shum tzara. There is no tzara over here that they have to make a gzera. We're talking about a katan, but the same thing would apply to what the begadol. Same thing would apply by a gadol. I behind the comment of the katan guy. Here we're talking about a katan, so that's why they mentioned by katan. But the same thing would apply for a gadol. Likewise, by arba achim, the same thing applies to a katan, even though they were talking about a gadol. Maisa shoya, Azar Rabbi Elazar, Amar l'shmaisa bei midrasha. Rabbi Elazar said over this memra, which he heard from Rav Yochanan in the base medrash, the lo amra mishmei Rav Yochanan, but he didn't say it over the name of Rav Yochanan. Shem Rav Yochanan v'yikrit. Rav Yochanan heard this and he was upset that he didn't say it over in his name. So his Talmidim, Ravami and Ravasi, tried to mollify him. All the Gabe Ravami Ravasi and Amulei, they said to the Rebbe Rav Yochanan, Lo kacha yo ha-maisa b'beis ha-knesset shel Tveria. They said, Rebbe, why are you getting upset? Once there was a maisa and a beis knesset in Tveria, where there was a big machlokis, and it led to a terrible takala. B'neger, this was involving a machlokis regarding a certain type of bolt on a door. They used to have a peg that they put into the ground and was attached to a bolt. In any event, this was a machlokas. Are you allowed to put this on Yontif or not, on Shabbos or not? So this neger, Sheish B'Rosh HaGalustra, it had this bolt and a knob on its end. So this was part of a construction or not. Shenechlegu Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi. The Tana, Rabbi Elazar, don't get confused with our Rabbi Elazar here, who's Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas. This is the Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. And this Tana, Rabbi Elazar, had a big machlokas with the Tana, Rabbi Yossi. Achekaru Sefer Torah b'chamasa. They got so angry at each other that a Sefer Torah ripped because of their anger. Our question is, what? One of them ripped the Sefer Torah in anger? Karu Solka Daitam? Can you really think, possibly, that they ripped the Sefer Torah in their anger? No, the word says you're right. Ela Ema Shenikra Sefer Torah Bechamasa. That the Sefer Torah got ripped because of their anger. So I'm guessing, I don't know all the details, so they were probably learning from a Sefer Torah. The great Gedolim would learn straight from a Sefer Torah. And in their discussion of this din, so they pointed back and forth to different parts of the Sefer Torah. They got angry with each other, and it ended up, they pointed, he pulled, and it ended up ripping. So the Gemara says, that's what happened. It ended up getting ripped, not that they ripped it intentionally. V'hayusham Reb Yossi ben Kisma. There was a Reb Yossi ben Kisma over there. That's different than Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi ben Kisma said, Omar, tamu ani, I'm amazed, im lo yeh beis ha-kneses zu avodus kol chovim. He said, because of this anger here, there's no way that the shul will have a permanence to it. It will end up being destroyed because the people inside it will worship Avodah Zarah. And in fact, kahoya. That's exactly what happened. So Rabbi Ravasi, Tov Yochanan, don't get angry. Because if you get angry, it could lead to terrible things happening. That only made Rabbi Yochanan even more angry. Hadar ik betfei. He got even angrier at them. He says, who are you? Ama chavrusa nami? Are you my chavrusas that you're talking to me and telling me not to get angry? You're my talmidim. That's the way the Bach understands this. He has a different understanding than the gears that we have in Rashi. And the Bach in Ozbe says, atem talmidai. Nasisim chaveirai. You're basically giving me musar like you're my chaveirim. You're my talmidim. You shouldn't be doing this. Others explain that he was saying to them, no, my Rebbe Lazar, who I'm upset that he didn't say it over my name, he's my Talmud. When Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Elazar the Tana were arguing with each other, so they were chavrusas, they were equals. So therefore, they could get into a discussion, but they shouldn't get angry. But a Rebbe is allowed to get angry at his Talmud, so therefore, I'm telling my Talmud. The Gemara tells us, Omer Dovah Shem Abro, maybe Gula Liola, so he should go and say it over my name. So he was upset that he didn't. I have the right as a Rebbe to be angry at the Talmud. So Rav Ami Rasi did not mollify Rav Yochanan. Along comes Olagabe Rav Yaakov Aridi. He comes along and says, Amo, no, he says to his Rebbe Rav Yochanan, the Pasuk says, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, Avdo, Kein Tziva Moshe es Yeshua, V'chein Osi Yeshua, Lo Heisir Dovah, Mikol Asher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. It says, it's just like Moshe did everything Hashem said. Yeshua did everything that Moshe told him from Hashem. He didn't leave out a single thing. And Rav Yaakov Baidi says, "V'chi akol dover shomer Yeshua hayomer lehem kachamoli Moshe." Do you think every time Yeshua said something, he said, "This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said"? Of course not. Everybody knew. El Yeshua Yoshev Dori stop. Yeshua would say over the dinim, and everybody knew. Akol yodim shetarasu shemoshu. He. Everybody knew he didn't say anything on his own. It was all for Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rav Yaakov Baidi says to Rav Yochanan, "Everybody knows your Talmud Rav Elazar ben Thos. He doesn't say over a word without it coming from you." In fact, Gemara's elsewhere would tell us that Rav Elazar ben Hadas never said over anything unless he heard it, b'shem Rav Yochanan. So, after Rav Elazar ben Hadas, Talmid Chod Diyamor, Rav Elazar ben Hadas, your Talmid, Yoshev Dor Stam. While he never says it over in your name, everybody knows, Hakol Yodim Ki Shol Chohi. He doesn't say anything over other than from you, so therefore, it's clearly anything he says is from you. This made Rav Yochanan very happy. Amal Hem, he said to Rav Ami Rasi, Pibnei Ma, Iyatem Yodim Lefayis. How come you guys couldn't mollify me and make me feel good like our colleague Ben Idi, the son of Idi, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, was able to do? Nudigwar says, Rav Yochanan is not angry because he didn't get covered. Why was Rav Yochanan angry? Rav Yochanan, my time of covered kulei hai. Why would he get angry? Rav Elazar ben Hadas didn't mention today, but Rav Yochanan seeking covered, chas v'sholom. Now, this is based upon the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav tells us, my Dilsiv was a Pasuk mean when it says, Ogura b'olcha olamim. The Pasuk from Tilden says, the David Amar says, I want to be constantly living in your house, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forever. Lo olamim. Nu, v'chiyev shalol yod, lo gurush teo olamim. Can a person be in this world and be in the olam ha'emes at the same time? So, El Amar David, the Bnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Yihi Ratzov, may be your will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, return to Tzadi Zayin Amar Aleph. That my words should be said over after my demise from this world. They should still say over words that I'm saying, the divrei Torah that I'm saying, because I'm Rav Yochanan, Mishum, Rav Shmuel Yochai. Rav Yochanan said over the name of Rav Shmuel Yochai, called Talmid Chacham Shomrim Dover Shmuel Mipi Ba'olam Hazeh, Sifsosov Dovavos Ba'Kever. This is the famous idea that when a Talmid Chacham says, they say over the word of a Talmid Chacham, the Talmid Chacham is not alive, but they don't deteriorate, they don't decay in the grave, so the lips are still extant, so the lips, so to say, are moving with the words of Torah that are being said over in their name. either Yitzchak ben Zira, or others say it was Shimon Nezira. They said the source of this. Mike, what's the source for this idea? So the pasuk tells us from Shir Hashirim, v'chiche ki yein hatov holech ledodi lemeisharim dovev sifsei yishenim. And this pasuk tells us that they will move. The chachamim are compared over here to kichomer shel anavim, like a cluster of grapes that's heated up. Ma kichomer shel anavim, and this cluster of grapes that's heated up. Kivin shemeniach adam es bo'ol of miyad dovev. If you touch it, so the wine inside moves. And this is the way the Talmidei Chachamim described as well. So when you say over the Verlach in this world, so it's as if their lips are moving in the grave, and that's why the Yochanan said this is a very good idea. And likewise, as I mentioned before, the Gemara in many places tells us that Omer Dovim Shem Omro may be Gula Liolam. This will bring about the Gula to the world in Yitzhak Hashem by all learning the Gemara and saying over all the words of these Tzadikim. There should be an aliyah for all the neshamas that we learned for today, as well as it should bring the gula to the world. I'm saying this shir right before Shabbos, Erev Shavuos, so I wanted to wish everybody a wonderful Chag Sameach and a great Shabbos. With this, we conclude today's shir.